We've come to Galatians 2, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. We're looking at the story of Paul correcting Peter in front of some other Christians because Peter did something that was wrong. What happened? Why did Paul get on to Peter? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." Why is Paul bringing this up? Is he trying to embarrass Peter? Is he just trying to brag about confronting Peter? No. Peter had done something that would have undermined the very point that Paul is making in this book, and that is that the Gentiles do not have to submit to the law of Moses. And the Jews and the Gentiles are equal members in the church of Christ. Now, before we get into what Peter specifically did, let's bear in mind that Peter was the first one to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We read about that in Acts chapter 10. Before that time, the gospel had been taken to the Jews, but these disciples and these apostles had not carried the gospel to the Gentiles. And so Peter has to be convinced by a vision and a voice from heaven to take the gospel to the house of Cornelius. And he does. And as he's teaching Cornelius, he said those famous words in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God is not a partial God. Jew or Gentile alike can become members of the body of Christ. Now later, in the Jerusalem meeting in Acts chapter 15, Peter told these Jews that were causing the trouble not to bind the law of Moses on the Gentiles. Peter knew that Jews and Gentiles were equals in the church. He knew that Jews were not any better than the Gentiles in the church. But there were some Jews in the church that were slow to accept the Gentiles as their equals. So they looked at them like second-class citizens. And some of these Jews in the church would not eat with Gentile members, even though they were Christians. And some of those Jews in the church had already gotten on to Peter about doing this very thing. After Peter got back from the household of Cornelius, there were Jews in the church that jumped on to Peter, and they said to him, "You went in to men uncircumcised." That is, you went into the house of Gentiles and you ate with them. That was something that the Jews didn't do. And so Peter explained what happened there and how that God had showed him that he was to take the gospel to these Gentiles and that they believed and that they were baptized and that they were Christians. And that satisfied those Jews. But some of those Jews did not forget. Some of those Jews would not let go of those old feelings. And that is underneath what we're looking at here in Galatians 2. Now notice in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, that Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch." Remember that the reason that he's bringing up Peter is because he says in verse 9 that James and Cephas, or Peter, and John seemed to be pillars. And it may have been that even in the eyes of some of these Gentile members, people like Peter and these others were pillars, that they seemed to be somewhat, as Paul said. And Paul is simply showing that Peter did not act right on this occasion. He didn't do what he should have done. And Paul got on to him about that. And notice that the Bible says in verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face." Paul didn't go behind his back. Paul said, "I confronted him face to face." Why? Because Peter was wrong. Peter was at fault. He says, because he was to be blamed. What did Peter do? Well, Paul tells us in verses 12 and 13. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas, he says, was carried away with their dissimulation. So the situation was this. Peter was at Antioch. The church had been established there. And Peter was eating with Christians who happened to be Gentiles. Now, this was common. They had meals together, and it was perfectly all right, and Peter knew that it was all right. But then something happened. In verse 12, the Bible says that there were certain that came from James. In other words, there were certain Jewish brethren that showed up, and Peter didn't expect that. They had come from James. That is, James, the one that is mentioned in chapter 2, verse 9, sent these men to Antioch. And these men that he sent were Jewish brethren. So Peter doesn't expect this. And this scared Peter. Peter was afraid, the Bible says. Now that might seem odd to us because Peter is an apostle. Peter has the power to work these miracles. Peter is a man who is inspired of the Holy Spirit to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why should he be afraid? He's the one that God chose to take the gospel first to the Gentiles, and he stood up and said that in Acts chapter 15. But here he is afraid. What is he afraid of? He is afraid of what these Jewish brothers might say or what they might think. Now, this shouldn't have made any difference. If those Jewish brethren had that kind of feeling, Peter should have gone ahead and kept on eating with these Gentiles. And if those Jews had said anything, he should have corrected them, but he was afraid of them. He had already been jumped onto once before in Acts 11, verse 3. And now he's afraid of what these brethren might say or what they might think. So we're looking at a case of plain old peer pressure here. The same kind of pressure that Peter felt when he denied our Lord those three times. But the situation here ought to be better than that. It ought to be different for Peter because Peter is not around enemies of the Lord. He is around his brethren. But sometimes we know better than what we do. We know better, but we're afraid of what people might say or what they might think, even people in the church, and that should not be. What happened? Well, the Bible says that Peter was so afraid that he got up and he separated from those Gentile members of the church. What a shame and a disgrace that was to Peter, and how embarrassing and hurtful that must have been to those Gentile Christians. The Bible says that because Peter did this, there were other people that followed him. Now, remember that Peter is a leader in the church, and so when Peter does something, oftentimes, you will find that other people will follow in his footsteps, even though he's wrong on this occasion. So in verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. That is, Jewish members of the church who were eating with the Gentiles. But when these Jews came from Jerusalem, from James, they were afraid of what they would think. And so they dissembled likewise with Peter. And then he says that even Barnabas got caught up in their activity. Even Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. Look at the word dissembled here in verse 13 in the King James Version, and the word dissimulation. Those words mean to act hypocritically, to be so inconsistent as to act hypocritically. Now, the Bible is not saying here that Peter was a hypocrite in the same sense that the scribes and the Pharisees were, who never wanted the truth and would not repent even though they were shown they're wrong. But even though Peter didn't do this intentionally, he still was inconsistent. He was still acting hypocritically, and what a shameful thing. This went against what Jesus died for, because Jesus died so that the Jews and the Gentiles might be one in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through chapter 3, verse 6. Peter knew better than what he's doing here. And notice this. Just because Peter was an apostle, that did not make him perfect in his life. Now, he was inspired. And when he taught the gospel and when he wrote his letters, 1 and 2 Peter, what he said was perfect, But just because a man was inspired did not make his life perfect. And that's what we see here in the example of Peter. This went against brotherly love, and it was racism in the church, because they're making an issue about nationality and about race, and this undermined the very thing that Paul has been talking to these Gentile Christians about who were in the region of Galatia. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 14 that Paul rebuked Peter. Notice in verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all." Now let's stop right there. Notice that Paul rebuked Peter in front of all these people. And again, Paul is not bragging here. He's not trying to hurt Peter's name. He was making a point that affected these Christian souls. He was not pouring salt in an old wound. He was not trying to make a private dispute a public matter. It was already public. And the church itself and all these congregations were at stake in this matter, because what Peter did really undermined the gospel of Jesus Christ in the point that Paul is making in this book. So in verse 14, the Bible tells us that Paul said these words to Peter in front of all these people. Now you might ask, well, wouldn't it have been better for Paul to have taken Peter to the side and talked to him privately, like Aquila and Priscilla did Apollos in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28? Well, Apollos didn't know any better. He needed teaching. But Peter knew better. And Peter did this in front of all these people, and people were already following Peter's bad example. So Paul decided that this needed to be dealt with right there on the spot. And so this is what he said to Peter. "If you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles," in other words, if you live among the Gentiles and you eat with them and you see them as equals, "and not as do the Jews who won't have anything to do with those Gentiles, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" In other words, he's saying that Peter, by his actions, was telling these Gentile Christians to live like the Jews, that is, to follow the law of Moses. But that is the very thing that Paul is writing against here, because these Judaizing teachers were teaching that false doctrine. And when he says in verse 15, "we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentile," he's not being prejudicial. He's simply saying we are not sinners of that kind. We are not sinners among the Gentiles, because many Gentiles were ignorant and sinful in their lives. Paul said, "we are Jews, but we don't compel these Gentiles to live like we do in submitting to the law of Moses." And he goes on to say in verse 16, "knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Now notice two things about what has happened here. Number one, many people say that Peter was the Pope. But imagine this. Imagine somebody today correcting the Pope in public like Paul corrected Peter here. The truth is, the Bible nowhere speaks about a Pope, and it certainly doesn't say that Peter was a Pope. And also, it's important to remember that Peter did not hold a grudge against Paul, even though Paul said these words to Peter in front of all these people. Peter did not get mad and complain that Paul embarrassed him in front of all these people and hold a grudge against him for the rest of his life. As a matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the last book that Peter wrote, he referred in chapter 3, verse 15, to Paul as our beloved brother. And so we see the truth of the words in Proverbs 28, verse 23, "He that rebukes a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue."